learning this week a few of the smaller simanim and hilchos chiras batim. Siman Shin Yud Gimel has one sif that has fairly broad ramifications. In sif Gimel, Siman Shin Yud Gimel, sif Gimel, the case itself is fairly arcane, fairly technical, having to do with the dung of animals. But basically, there is a machlokas between the Rambam and other Rishonim. It has to do with how to learn a slightly ambiguous Gemara in Bav Metziah. There's machlokas, Rambam and other Rishonim, when you have a property that is rented out. So there's a landlord and a tenant. And a Metziah, you see the wind blows in, say a $20 bill. And so we know that in general, chatzar is a kinyan. If property falls into your chatzar, your house, your property, you under appropriate circumstances, you are zoche for tefker. Question is, who is you in this case? Who is Zelcha with Kenin Chatzar for a Metziah? Is it the landlord or the tenant? So the Rambam says the landlord is Zelcha, and other Rishonim say the tenant is Zelcha. The Shach goes through this in some detail. The Beis Yosef already asks a question. This is kind of one of the central themes we keep discussing in Hilchos Chiras. The Kesem Mishnah asks, what is Pshat in the Rambam? Why does he say that the landlord is zocha? What happened to the rule schiris liyame memkaru? Why don't we treat schiris like a sale and look at the tenant as the owner, so to speak? So Shach himself and other achronim give several answers. One of the points they make is, as we keep discussing, schiris liyame memkaru is actually somewhat unclear and somewhat controversial klal, because on the one hand there is one gemara that says schiris liyame memkaru, there is another gemara that says schiris lo kanya. For certain purposes, we say schiris is not considered a real kinyan. So which one is it? Is schiris lo memkaru, or do we say schiris lo kanya? The Gemara of schiris lo memkaru is talking about ona. It's discussing a question of whether ona applies to schiris or only to sales. The pasuk itself is talking about sales. So the maskara of the Gemara is rentals are also included in the rules of ona, because schiris lo memkaru, schiris is also a form of sale. That Gemara, discussing Ona, seems to say that Tchirus is a sale. That's certainly what the words mean. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is talking about a few specific dinim in the Torah. Other dinim, one of them is L'savi Toev El Beisecha. There's an Issur D'Oraisa in having Avodah Zarah inside your house. Even if you're not worshipping Avodah Zarah, it's not your Avodah Zarah, it's your tenant is bringing his little Avodah Zarah. There's a lav, you can't have Avodah Zarah in your house. Similarly, there's a lav of Shvisas Behema on Shabbos. Your behemah is not allowed to work for you on Shabbos. Not allowed to work for anybody on Shabbos. There is a sheet that Shvisas Kalim is also osur, so you can't even have your machinery doing work, but we don't pass like that. That's not lahalacha. So in our lives, it's not really nogeh. We don't really have that many animals, and the animals that we do have are mostly pets and are not really doing work. But in the time where they used to have animals, so there's a lav of Shvisas behemah. So the question is, when you rent out your premises is to a guy and he brings in, or over to Avodah Zarah, he brings in Avodah Zarah, Are you over the lav or not? Do we say it's your house, so you're over? Or do we say it's his house, he rented it? Same thing for behemah. If you rent out your behemah to a guy, let's say, and the guy does malacha on Shabbos, are you over the lav of Jesus' behemah? Do we say it's your behemah doing malacha because you own the goof of the behemah, it's going to revert back to you eventually? Or do we say, no, schiris no memkaru, schiris kanya, and right now it belongs to the tenant? So the Gemara, the maskana of the Gemara is schiris lo kanya, and you're not over Shvisas Behema, you're not over L'Sovet Tevel Beisecha. I'm sorry, I said it backwards, yes. Schiris Lo Kanya, it's still considered your home, your residence, and your Behema, and therefore you will be over Shvisas Behema, and you will be over L'Sovet Tevel Beisecha.
But if it's not in your possession, then how can you be over it if someone else is doing the working of the animal?
Well, again, if you're an onus, if it's not your fault, if you stipulated that he's not supposed to do it and he does it, then you have no choice. The Hilchos Shabbos, it talks about what he's supposed to do if you made a contract with the guy that he's not allowed to, the man has to rest on Shabbos. He's supposed to be mafkir the behemoth, maybe there's other eights. You're right, if you're an onus, you're an onus. But l'chal hapachas l'chatchila, if you know he's going to do it, or you have to do what you can to make sure he doesn't do it.
Who's chayav in the mezuzah? The Baal Bayis isn't chayav in the mezuzah.
Discuss mezuzah soon, in a few minutes. But, b'li neder. But, So I'll call upon him, this is a stira. The Gemara in Bava Metziah Legabe Ona says Schiris Liyoy Memkaru. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says Schiris Lo Kanya. So there are two main terutzim in the Rishonim the Shach brings. One of them is the special Gzeres Akasiv in Ona, because there's a Ribui in the Pasuk. Everywhere else we say Schiris Lo Kanya, except for Ona, because it's a Gzeres Akasiv. So really, Schiris No Memkaru is misleading. There's not really such a general klal. That's just a specific rule in Ona. But normally we say Schiris Lo Kanya. So obviously that would answer the Kesem Mishnah's kasha. The reason the Rambam says the landlord is kona is because really we say skiris lo kanya. The tenant is not considered the owner of the property. Just like Abayar, no, there's an exception. There's another mahalach in the Rishonim, Muki Yosef and others, some of the Sephardic Rishonim, who say that kind of a more, you know, more lumdish, more conceptual approach. They say that schiris is kone and it's not kone. It's kone legabe the peiros, legabe the temporary use, the peiros of the property for the duration of the schiris are kone. You're not kone the guf. So if I ask you, is schiris kanya? The answer is it depends. In a certain bechina, yes. In a certain bechina, no. You're kone part of the object. When it comes to kone, that's enough. All we need is some mechira on some level. The schiris is kone on some part of the property. That's enough. That wherever that mechira is, let it be only on the peiros. But on that, there's enough. Mashen came the Gemaras in Avodah Zarah that say that legabe shvisis behema and legabe losavi toeva schiris lo kanya, because those dinim are totally on who owns the guf. And schiris lo kanya means we don't view the selcher as owning the guf, the real, so to speak. If I ask you, if you have to pick one guy who's considered the primary owner, schiris lo kanya means we look at that guy as the landlord. And again, the Shach says we can understand the Rambam that way, because the schiris memker, who just means there is a mechira going on somewhere, legabe the peiros, but legabe the fundamental, the basic question, who is the primary owner? The answer is schiris lo kanya. The primary owner is the landlord, and that's why he is the one who is zocha in kinyan chatzah.
So is that the definition of schiris? Knias the peiros?
We do find that sometimes given as knias haperis, that the Rambam has a famous analogy where he says, sets up like a little chart. He says you have mecher, you have a sale, and you have matana, which is the same thing as mecher but without money changing hands. I'm just giving it to you for free. And then parallel to those two, he says we have schirus and sheela. Schirus is like mecher but only on the peiros, not on the guf, and only temporarily, and only on the peiros. And Sheila is like Matana, where it's the same, just like Schiris is a Mecher without only Paris. Sheila is a Matana of only Paris. Basically, yes, we do find the expression. There are other Bechinas too. We talked about Shibudim and other things, but definitely in some contexts we find Schiris as defined. The Rambam does say there's such a thing as Mechiras Paris, which has certain differences to Schiris, but for our purposes, I think we can, you know, simplify slightly and say that Schiris is basically Mechiras Paris, at least in some contexts. So one other very interesting thing we should note, though, is that both the Shach in several stages of his argument, as well as Lacha Mishnah, the Ktzos, they all seem to, and Lacha Mishnah is bringing other Achronim, a number of Achronim seem to assume that who actually is Kona with the Chatzar is not actually set in stone, is not fixed, and the parties really have the right to make any arrangement they want. Just as with other rites, you know, who can use the chatzar, we keep saying everything is totally on minhag, it's contractual, they seem to assume, to some extent, who's kind of, with the chatzar is really a contractual question. And if the parties want, they can deviate from the halacha in both directions. So, for example, in the Shach, at one point the Shach wants to learn up in the Rambam to answer a certain question. The Sma brings, the Shach wants to learn, the earlier Achronim want to learn, the Shach himself doesn't like this. The Shach brings earlier Achronim say that for other things, for other types of matzias, for $20 bills maybe, the tenant is zoche. When the Rambam says that the landlord is zoche and the zevel, the dung from the animals, that's the case in the Shulchan Aruch, animals that wander in, the dog wanders in and leaves dung behind, that was valuable for fertilizer, sometimes people wanted it, that the Rambam says the tenant is not zoche, the landlord is zoche, and the reason is because that was something which was not considered the main, the primary use of the chatzar. That's kind of incidental and unexpected. So the lashon is that lav lahachi agre. The rental wasn't for those purposes, and therefore he's not zocha in those things. The language of the Taz, the Taz says something similar. The Taz says dafka bezevel lo samcha das balot balasocher al zeh. He wasn't expecting that. He wasn't counting on that. But something which is more common, he is zocha. The Ktzos wants to learn also that the whole reason the Rambam the Rambam said that the, kind of the opposite idea, that the Ktzos wants to learn that the whole reason the Baal Bayis is Zoch and the Zevel is because since there's a halacha that lo hisker harefes, that if there happens to be a stable in the chatzar, by default the stable is not included, so the stable still belongs to the landlord. So since he's thinking about animals and he wants animals, so the arrangement gives him the right to be kohen, specifically even zevel not from the stables, even zevel from the cows that walk him from the street. His mind is on zevel, so therefore he wants to retain the right to be zochen and zevel. Later, toward the end of the shach talks about a case where Gemara talks about a case of some tanoim. And they left their tefuah back home. They were on a ship, and they wanted to take care of the meiser. So one of them wanted to give the meiser to somebody else. How could he do it? One of them was a levi, one of them was an ani. He wanted to give him truma or meiser or meiser ani. How does he do it? They're not in physical proximity to the meiser. So he said, I'll hereby rent to you the underlying property, and with that rental, you'll then be kone, either kenin agav, or the shach is assuming schirus at kenin chatzer at this point. You'll be zocha via kenin chatzer. Like what the rabbi asked on the Rambam, how can the tenant, so to speak, tenant who's getting used to the property, how can he be zocha in the chatzer if he's only a tenant? The Rambam says that only the landlord is zocha. So the shach says, since that was the whole point here, the whole point of this arrangement was to let the tenant, Rabbi Akiva be zocha in the tua. So mistama lekach zachro. So again, you find all these different chalukim in the achronim that whatever the machlokas Rambam and other rishonim is by default of what. If we should get it, it really depends on what they wanted, what they expected, what they planned. It's a chiddush in Lomdus and Svara. We might have thought that you want to know, can I use it? Can I do this to the karka, do that to the karka? It's up to what we made up. I have this right, I don't have that right. We might have thought the kinyan chatzer is kind of emergent. If I'm considered the owner based on all these rules of schirus and amkarhu and peros and guf, that determines who has the right to be kinyan. But the Achronim seems to understand the right to be kohen itself is a particular schus in the chatzer that if we want, we can stipulate, we can deviate from the norms. The norms themselves are based on the default stipulation, the default expectation, who we want to be kohen. If we want the socher to be kohen, the socher will be kohen. Not really absolutely determined by the rules of schus and memkeru. That just determines by what the default is. The parties have the right to set up whatever arrangement they want that someone else should be, that someone else should be socher. Using the to someone else to be zocheh in the property. Turning now to mezuzah, we'll get to that a little bit in Shin Yud Aleph. Just a brief discussion about mezuzah. So the Shulchan Aruch is going to say that the zocher has to put up a mezuzah. He has to put up a makkah, he has to put up a mezuzah. The Shulchan Aruch is not actually discussing mezuzah here primarily. That's back in your day. The Shulchan Aruch is discussing different things, which are the responsibilities of the landlord, which are the responsibilities of the tenant. So mezuzah is included in a list of things that basically are the responsibility of the tenant. I want to just at least begin discussing briefly a very kind of difficult to understand halacha, which actually is primarily in Yerdea, but has major chosh mishpah ramifications. That is the halacha, which many people know, that a Jewish tenant who leaves a residence is not supposed to take off the mezuzahs insofar as the owner and or the incoming tenants are also Jewish or also certainly if they're observant Jews. The tenant is not supposed to remove the mezuzahs. And there's actually some question whether he's even allowed to charge the landlord or the incoming tenant for his mezuzahs. He certainly shouldn't take them away. And according to some poskim, he may be able to at least ask for compensation. So what is that all about? Why shouldn't the tenant take away the mezuzahs? Why is he or isn't he allowed to ask for a compensation? So,
well, why is he responsible for them at all?
Why is
the socher responsible?
To leave the mezuzah. Why is he responsible to put the mezuzah in the first place?
Yeah.
So why is he responsible to put it in the first place? So that thing, Mara says, mezuzah chavas hadar, that either, I think some posts can say because part of the function of mezuzah is shmira, even though the Rambam famously warns you that that's primarily a mitzvah and it has to do with emunah, But there is a function of Shmira, the poskim say. So some poskim say because he needs Shmira.
Well, Shmira, the bias also, in the goof of the bias belongs to the maskir.
True. But most poskim paskin, as far as I understand, if a person has an empty bias, he's not mechuyev mezuzah. If he's using the bias for storage, then already there's a shaila. But if you have, let's say, a house, and you have a non-Jewish tenant, there's no mezuzah, and a non-Jewish tenant leaves, and you're looking for another tenant, nobody's moving in yet, the minhag, I think, is that I saw that Achronim bring, that you don't put up a mezuzah necessarily right away, because the fact that it's your house, and you don't want it to burn down, that itself, if you're not residing there, then you don't put up a mezuzah. So, The Gemara says that a tenant should not take a mezuzah out when a resident of a house leaves the house. He must not take the mezuzah out. The Gemara brings a terrible story. Somebody did and had deaths in his family. But the Gemara does not explain why he shouldn't take the mezuzah out. So the Rishonim give at least three or four reasons. The most well-known reason, which is the reason brought by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Poskim, is Tosus's reason. Tosus says that there's a problem of mazikin. Tosus says that if you take the mezuzahs out, mazikin will get into the house, and you're thereby causing damage to the incoming tenants. So it's very hard to understand what this means. So, for example, in the Sefer Rishon Letzion by the Baal Aruch Chaim, he says, "What's the problem? When they come in, they'll bring their own mezuzahs in. So, like, what are you worried about? Why is it different from anybody who moves into a house and puts a mezuzah in? He's protected. So, when the new tenant comes in, he'll put his own mezuzah in. What do you have to worry about?" That some people say because we're afraid he'll forget or something or other reasons like that. But the Aruch Chaim says, he starts explaining to you the mazikin or shadim. They're demonic entities that cause problems, and he explains the way the shadim work. He says, is that first he makes two klalim, two rules on how the shadim operate. First of all, he says it is easier to keep him at bay so he won't come in than to expel him when he's already inside. So if you put the mezuzah on now, then he won't come in. But if you wait till he gets in and then try to expel him, that's not so easy. B, he says, how is it different from every person who comes into a house and puts in a mezuzah? He says, a house that has a mezuzah right now, so the mazikim are already, you know, they've already seen the house, they can't get in, they want to get in, so they kind of buzz around the house and they're outside. As soon as you take the mezuzah away, they come flying in. A house that never had a mezuzah, so they're not as busy with this house in the first place. You still have time when you come in to put the mezuzah in to keep them away. Some of the Acharonim Shteltzu, the Aruch Chaim Al Torah, who explains why a Jewish person who dies has more tumma, more severe tumma than a non-Jewish person who dies. He explains that the more kedusha there is, then the more susceptible you are to tumma. So because the house has the mezuzah, it attracts the shadim. They can't get in, but as soon as you take the mezuzah out, they're already here. They're already coming into the house. Ekshiyah. This is the reason of Tosfos that there's a problem with mazikin. This is the reason that many poskim seem to accept the halacha. We'll continue Linader on Wednesday. We'll continue with some of the other reasons of the poskim, and we'll discuss the choshen mishpat aspects of whether he can charge the landlord or the new tenant, why or why not.